It's going to be like the classic. It was the best and the worst of times. And it will be that way. If you're a part of God's kingdom and you're standing on the rock of Christ Jesus, it's going to be the best of times. Every day is a good day when God's a part of it. And every report we hear, we filter it through the word of God. And we know that God is able. Everybody just tell somebody by you, my God is able. Tell them everything's in control. Come on, he's not broke. He's not in trouble. That's right. We're not worried about the parliaments and the kings and the prime ministers and we're not worried about all the government entities. They can't stand. We already read in the book, all of that's coming down. But God has established a kingdom in the earth that will never, ever end. And you're a part of that today. And isn't it wonderful? Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Praise God. Praise God. Don't be alarmed if you see young men or young ladies walking around with big shiny hams in their hands today. They're just giving them out to our elders. And no, you got to be old enough to get one. So they're trying to take care of that in the service today so that we don't miss anybody. And then we'll deliver those to those that are not able to be here. Praise God. We're going to read this morning. We're continuing through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20 today. Feel a wonderful presence in the house. Glad for all of our visitors here. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. And he's teaching us how now. He's giving us nuts and bolts for how to accomplish the things that he's charged us to do and to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And he's helping us to walk and helping us to appropriate all the promise of God unto ourselves. And here in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So he's prescribing to us for the health and the well-being of our spiritual experience. And because you are essentially spiritual, it will affect everything else about you because everything radiates out. Spirit is primary. Everything else radiates out from that. And so as you doctor the spirit, then everything else gets better. There is a redemptive lift that touches everything in your life. So you need to talk to yourself more. Talk to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to God, and always giving thanks to God in all things. In all things. You want to give thanks to God. All right. If you love his word as you're seated this morning, give him praise and thanks and magnify him. And thank him for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you. We lift you. We exalt you. So thankful to know you. So thankful to hear your word today. God, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're handling the word of God today, but I've really got some important news. Berkeley agrees with the word of God. University of Berkeley, probably the traditional hotbed for liberal thought and the culture war that's moving in our culture today. But out of Berkeley from time to time, even they have to agree with the word of God. There is an ongoing research project at Berkeley on, they call it gratitude. We would biblically perhaps call it thankfulness. And there's an ongoing study, and you can participate in that study by going on their website and filling out their survey and being a part. And there, it is already producing results, and there are links there to all sorts of other research projects that have gone on and studies that have already been conducted. Robert Emmons is perhaps the world leader on study on gratitude. And he says gratitude has two key components. And he writes an essay entitled Why Gratitude is Good. First, he writes, it is an affirmation of goodness, and we affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts and benefits that we've received. When you're thankful, when you're grateful, you affirm yourself and the world about you, there are good things in the world and in my life. You know, I don't have to enlarge on this for you to see the immediacy and the need of it, because you probably have in your lifetime met maybe one negative person. In the second part of gratitude, he explains, we recognize that the sources of this goodness are outside of ourselves. We acknowledge that other people are even higher powers if you're of a spiritual mindset. He kind of gives that a little backhanded compliment. Gave us many gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our life. Now, we know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who is above, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We understand where good things come from. And everyone said amen. Emmons and other researchers see the social dimension as being especially important to gratitude. I see it as a relationship, strengthening emotion. Because it requires us to see how we've been supported and affirmed by other friends or by other people. Because gratitude encourages us not only to appreciate gifts, but to repay them or pay them forward. It makes you appreciate goodness and makes you want to be good. The sociologist Greg Simmel called it the moral memory of mankind. And you can go on their website and find out more. But in this website material and these studies and the summaries, they offer you some suggestions about the power of thankfulness or gratitude. Over the past decade, hundreds of students or studies have documented the social, physical, psychological benefits of gratitude. The research suggests that these benefits are available to most anyone who practices gratitude. And in the midst of adversity, elders or people confronting death or people that are experiencing cancer or folks that have chronic muscular diseases, they found that the quality of life and all of the markers that you would look for positive results are more prominent in people that are found by survey to have thankfulness or to have gratitude. And here are some things that thankfulness does. Gratitude does this. It brings happiness. Through research by Emmons, happiness expert, Sonia, and here's a name for you, Lyubomirsky, got to be Polish or Russian, and many other scientists practicing gratitude, has proven to be one of the most reliable methods for increasing happiness and life satisfaction. If you're blue, if you're sad, just begin to be thankful. Now, if you know the Word of God, you know this already. If you've encountered the psalmist and the Word of God, you already know what it does to you. But it's kind of neat to hear the secular world, the world or the academic world responding and agreeing. It boosts feelings of optimism and joy and pleasure and enthusiasm and other positive emotions. And it also reduces anxiety and depression. Gratitude is good for our bodies. Studies by Emmons and his colleague McCullough suggest gratitude strengthens the immune system, lowers blood pressure, reduces symptoms of illness, makes us less bothered by aches and pains, and encourages us to exercise more and take better care of our. All you got to do is come to church, and all of a sudden you're feeling better about everything in your life. All you've got to do is lift up your hands and begin to give thanks and praise unto God, or magnify God. Church makes your blood pressure better. Church helps with chronic pain. If you're doing church in a biblical way, because we enter in with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Grateful people or people with a thankful heart sleep better. They get more hours of sleep each night. They spend less time awake before falling asleep. They feel more refreshed upon awakening. These are all part of the results of scientific survey. These are studies that have been done at Berkeley. If you have a thankful heart, you sleep better. You feel more refreshed and you sleep more soundly. And he said, this sociologist says, count your blessings instead of sheep. He could teach the lesson today. Count your blessings. Don't count sheep. Gratitude makes you more resilient. It's been found to help people recover from traumatic events. They are using it to good effect with veterans from foreign wars who have PTSD. Gratitude strengthens relationships. It makes us feel closer, more committed to friends and family members. And when you feel and express gratitude for one another, you become more satisfied with the relationship. Gratitude also encourages a more equitable division of labor between family members. So if you're having trouble at home about who does this or that or the other, you need to develop a more thankful attitude toward one another. And it inspires harmony in the house. Isn't that amazing? Gratitude promotes forgiveness. Gratitude helps you pay it forward. Grateful people, thankful people are more altruistic and more compassionate. Gratitude is good for kids, 10 to 19 year olds. When they practice gratitude, they report greater life satisfaction and more positive emotion, and they feel more connected to their community. When you're training a little one to say thank you and to be thankful and to act in ways that express gratitude, you're training them to have a more positive ideology about life and to have a greater degree of positive life experience. Gratitude is good for schools. Gratitude study suggests that it makes students feel better about their school, and it makes teachers feel more satisfied and accomplished and less emotionally exhausted, and possibly reducing teacher burnout. And how do you cultivate gratitude? If you're a natural pessimist, you can take heart, because gratitude or thankfulness is a skill set that you can learn. And here's some effective ways to build thankfulness. Keep a gratitude journal, a thankfulness journal. Record 3 or 4, 5 things a day for which you're grateful for, because evidence suggests that how we keep a gratitude journal, how often we write in it, influences its impact in our lives. And we can write a gratitude letter to an important person in our lives who we never have properly thanked. Research suggests that gratitude letters provide strong and long-lasting happiness boosts, especially when they're delivered in person. Savor the good in your life. Don't just gloss over the beauty and pleasures that come your way, but be thankful for them. We could go on. You can go on the website and read this for yourself. But I just want you to know, toward the end of the material, get metaphysical. Research suggests that thinking hard about our own mortality makes us more grateful for life. And another study found that praying more often increases thankfulness. Praise God. So all these good things come out of thankfulness, out of being grateful. Right now, I just want you to take a moment or two and just thank God for all the good things that he's done in your life. I want you to just give him a moment or two of praise and thanks. God, you've been good to me. I want to thank you. I just want to take a minute here, stop what I'm doing, and say you've been a good God. You've always been good to me. I want to thank you for healing my body. I want to thank you for being my way maker. I want to thank you that when I was down, you lifted me up. You're the lifter up of my head. I praise you, mighty God, for compassion and mercies today. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you blessed us with and every good gift. Praise God. Praise God. So in our text today, it's good to talk to yourself. That studies also indicate that if you speak to yourself, talk to yourself, you're probably above average in intelligence. You know, I see people walking down the street talking to themselves. I just thought they were talking to Elvis, but turns out they're really bright people, and they're just talking to themselves. There's a power in self-talk. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, it doesn't matter what goes into a man. Now, there are prohibitions in the spirit about what you do and what you ought to do and what you ought not do. And we could get into a discussion about that. But primarily, he said, it's what comes out of you. It's the words that you speak that and the actions that you take that defile the man. Contrary to that is the fact that if you can defile yourself by speaking forth negative things, then can I not build myself up and bless myself by speaking forth good things and profitable and proper things? James is going to tell us that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And he says that ship goes wherever the governor or the captain listeth, wherever he wants it to go. It's a small member on that huge ocean-going vessel, but it determines the trajectory of that ship. And so your tongue determines where you will go and what you will be and what you will experience. And the Proverbs will tell us life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's good to be a thankful person, and it's good to talk to yourself and remind yourself about all the good things that are in your life. I'm just telling you, it is an important thing for us to remember what God has said. The psalmist prayed a prayer, 19 and 4 of the Psalms. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Help me, God, to remember to speak things that are pleasing to you, to say things that are positive and edifying and uplifting and are going to help someone and be a part of the solution. Help me to remember, God, that my words go out and have tremendous power in my life and in the life of those that hear them. In the 103rd Psalm, David does some self-talk, and he lets us know that self-talk is not only good and healthy, but it's powerful. Everyone say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to that innermost part of himself, and he's saying, I want you to get up out of those mully grubs. I want you to get up out of that depression. I want you to quit fretting and worrying and being anxious and frustrated, and I want you to just stand up and open your mouth, and I want you to begin to bless the Lord. Well, praise God. Now, this is such an important concept. We see this in Job when he's lying under the rubble of the destruction that the enemy is brought to his life, and he raises up his hand out of that and says, I'm telling you, I didn't bring anything into this world. I'm not going to take anything out. He said, naked came I into this world, and naked will I live. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I doubt you're going to find many people that have a worse day than Job had just had. But he understood the power of bless the Lord, oh my soul. I may not understand. The storm may be so thick, I can't see where we're going. But there's a cardinal truth here that I can't deny today. And I've got to be invested in it. And I have to participate in it. In every day of my life, some days are sunny and easy. But some days are days filled with rubble and cataclysm. And in those days, I've really got to marshal my strength and say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There's a power in that. There's a lift in that. He says, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, verse 2, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It is so easy. You can pull a dime out of your pocket today, pull it close enough to your eye, and obscure every important thing, every important blessing God has placed in your life. It's just a dime. It's not very big, but if you get it so close and that's all you think about and that's all you talk about, it dominates your mind and it'll dominate your spirit. It'll dominate what you do. It will intrude into all of your relations and all the good things that would come to your assistance and all the good things that would help you in your distress. You can't see them because with your own mouth, you're saying there is no good. Everything's awful. Everything's bad. It's never like that. You need to back up from the trouble. You need to look up to God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from thee. Oh God, I'm going to look over the top of my problem. If I have to, I'll burrow down under my problem. I'll get around it. But there's always the goodness of God. Every day, every circumstance, every situation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're going to talk about what God does. I know what man has done. I know what life is doing. I understand about the devil, but I'm going to talk about what God is doing. I want to talk about something good. I'm going to bring something good into my relationships. I'm going to bring something good into my home. I'm going to bring something good to the house of God. People are negative by nature. It's a part of our fallen existential experience, but that's not the will of God for you. The will of God is for you to rise up out of that and find something good to focus on. Orient yourself toward the things of God. Open your mouth and become a part of what God is doing. In verse 3, he said, he forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Anybody glad that God moves your sins away as far as the east is from the west? Anybody glad here that he forgives all? Hey, I might have a flat tire. My refrigerator may have just broken. My washing machine, the wig wag may not be wagging right. All of that stuff may be going on, but God has forgiven me all of my sins. Now, the secularist would say you're an escapist. The secularist would say that you are unrealistic and you're not dealing appropriately with the natural scenario that's been presented to you, so you won't have good success. But I've just got to tell you, I've got study after study after study from the University of Berkeley that tell me that if I'll get on board with this biblical principle, my blood pressure is going to go down, my hair is going to grow back, my life experience is going to be better. And I believe it not only because they've said it, but I found it in the Word of God. And I've walked it and I've lived it myself. Is there a witness in the house today that when I get on board with what God is doing, things just get better? Well, praise God. Touch somebody and say, he forgives all my iniquities. Tell them he heals all my infirmities. And all the sick people said amen. Everybody that's ever been sick said amen. I'm just telling you, sickness is a part of walking through life. We still die. We still have our fallen Adamic nature. We don't get a new body until the trump sounds. But he heals all of it. If he doesn't heal it here, Brother Ronnie, he healed you of cancer. My God, he touched you. I just get all excited and wired about that. Brother Ken's got oxygen around his neck today. We're praying God to heal you. But I'm just telling you. You tell the devil to take a hike. You tell the devil to shut his mouth, because if he doesn't heal me on this side, I'm going to be completely healed on that side. And 500 years later, it's not going to be a problem at all. Come on, do you really believe you're going to live forever with God? Do you really believe you're going to get a body like his glorious body? Do you really believe there's going to be no more tears, no more sickness, no... My God, well, let's sing those songs. Let's sing about that land. Let's sing about that blessing. Let's sing about that power. You know, plumbing is necessary. And septic tanks are a reality in some places in Alabama. And I'm not going to talk about the Jefferson County Council or $1 billion in debt, the second to greatest municipal bankruptcy in the history of the United States. I'm not going to talk about any of that. But all that stuff is out of sight. You don't have open sewage running in your front yard like a fountain, like you're proud of it. I mean, everybody's got it, but it's discreet and healthful to keep it shuttered away. And everybody's life has a little unpleasantness in it, and everybody's got stuff. And everybody has issues. Everybody's got it. But a discreet man, a discreet woman, godly people, keep all that stuff buried out here. Well, Brother Arthur, we don't cover it like the plumber does. But I'd like to say that we cover it with the blood. I'd like to say that we hide it under grace. I'd like to say that we keep it buried in the power of God's mercy. And the devil may bring it up, but we don't bring it up anymore. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He forgives all our iniquity. He redeems our life, verse 4, from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Is there an amen in the house? Satisfies my mouth with good things. Can you say amen? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. If you're oppressed, you hold on. You don't even have to speak your peace. You just wait on God. If God can raise Joseph up from a prison house to the throne of Egypt in 24 hours, God can do something with your situation. You keep your song together. If you're bound up in a jail cell with Paul and Silas, you may not understand in the midnight hour, in the depth of the dungeon, why they're singing. But they're singing because this is a cardinal principle of the kingdom of God. If the devil can't steal your song, he can't steal your joy. And if he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your power. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let the devil steal your song. Throw your head back and begin to talk about and sing about the goodness of God and be thankful. Well, praise God. Verse 7, he makes his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord, in verse 8, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, won't always chide, neither will keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, isn't that the truth? Aren't you glad? Turn to your neighbor and tell him he hadn't dealt with me according to my sins. Or you could refine it and say, I didn't get what I deserved. Anybody here agree with that? You didn't get what you deserved? My God, I'm thankful for Calvary. I'm thankful for mercy. I'm thankful for the blood that covers every sin. I'm thankful for the love of God that hides a multitude of sin. He hadn't dealt with us after our sins. I don't care what kind of day you're having. That's a good report. I don't care what just happened in your life. That is a good report. Now, I'm talking to some people with serious trauma in your life and in your family. I don't diminish that. I'm not making light of your pain, but I am telling you this. Your pain has less power over you and the circumstance, and you become an agent for change when you stand up in the middle of that dynamic, whether it's a family dynamic or at a hospital situation or in a condition when somebody's got a bad report in their life, maybe a terminal report from the doctor. In the middle of that, you've got to stand up and say, God's been good. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. God's made me many promises. Come on, is there a word in the house? Is there an amen in the house? Is there somebody that can testify to the goodness of God? Come on, somebody say, God's been good to me. Give somebody a high five and tell them, God's good. He's always good. Praise God. Praise God. Beware of your heart. Because there'll be days when we lift up our hands and we proclaim the goodness of God and our heart is breaking. And our victory is being crushed. But we war against it. We say, God is good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And as I do so, the constrictive, oppressive weight of the circumstance becomes less. My impact in that arena, because there are always people in that arena of pain that need a witness, that need the dynamic flow. When you do that, something flows in the spirit. The word of God goes forth. It's impossible for the eye to see and understand what's happening when you defy the natural law and the natural rule, and you stretch yourself up to your full stature in the spirit, and you open your mouth and prophesy to the goodness of God. It's an amazing, amazing privilege God has given us. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them. As far as the east is from the west, so he has removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. We're grass. We're the flower of the field. We're in the wind and we're gone. Verse 16, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Praise God. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When David is at Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30, even his men want to stone him because while they've been away and at work fighting a war for their people, the enemy has come to Ziklag and has burned the place with fire and stolen all of their possessions and their families, their wives and their children. And when they've come back, the men are so disheartened and so angry at David's leadership that they are furious and want to strike out at something or someone. And as they do, they want to strike out at David. But David goes off, and the scripture just simply says, David was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got down in the middle of that distress. He said, but I'm not dying from this, and this is not going to be the end of the story. And this, you got to get an attitude about this. This is not going to be a defining moment for the forces of evil. But out of this, we're going to rise up. And so he begins to encourage, and we have no idea what he said. He might have sung one of the Psalms to himself. We don't know what David said there. But he encouraged himself. And then he sent for the priest. And then he asked for the word of God. It reorients you. Causes you to hunger for a fresh word from God. And he gets a word from God that says, go forth, pursue them, and you're going to recover everything that you've lost. I want you to know this type of activity in your life opens you up again to being illuminated by the power of the word of God. When you're crushed under depression and distress and you're not opening your mouth and you're not participating in God, the portal cannot open from where the goodness of God can flow to your life. You're participating in your own destruction. I'm telling you, it may sound unfair. It may sound harsh. It may seem unfeeling, but you can't just sit there passively. If you do, you participate in your own destruction. But you've got to shake yourself and stand up in the middle of it and say, no, God is still good. He's a good God and he's well able. And the word of God came to David and said, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to go up. You're going to recover all. He said in that passage from the apostle, sing songs, spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart. Not songs about sadness and loss and debt and trouble. But songs about what you see in the word of God. And songs about what you see in the spirit of God. Praise God. Isaiah 53 begins, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That chapter is probably the most powerful chapter in the scripture that reveals the sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ from an Old Testament prophecy hundreds of years before. But it opens with a question. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, those two things are connected. Believing the report of God and seeing the arm of the Lord revealed. Those two things are connected. Because if you don't believe the report of the Lord, you're not going to see his arm revealed. In that very verse, he's talking about Israel because Israel rejects this Messiah, Savior. Israel doesn't embrace what God is doing for them. And the power of God is not available to them. And they miss the whole of the plan of God in their lives. But who has believed our report is a probing question, not just for Israel and not just for that particular revelation, but it's comprehensive about the people of God, their relationship with God. Walking in the house and saying, all right, who believes God? And that's a defining question. And yours will be a defining response. Who believes God? Because to whom I can get an affirmation from that one that will say, I believe every word in the book. I believe it's for me. I believe it's for now. I believe it's for this day. I believe everything. To that person, the arm of the Lord is revealed. The arm of the Lord in that passage is the power of Jesus Christ coming to do the work of redemption on the earth. But it signifies every good thing God wants to accomplish in the lives of people. Who believes the report? You've got to believe the report of God today. One of the clearest indications of what you believe is what you say with your mouth. If you're raining and cloudy and upset and everything's bad and everything's gloomy with your mouth every day, that's what you believe. If you're, it's all over, we're all going to die, there is no hope, everything's lost, everything's bad. If you're jumping to negative conclusions about everything, that becomes your song, and that's what you believe. And the arm of the Lord is not connected with that. So regardless of your circumstance, you've got to step out of circumstance, and you've got to open your mouth and say, you know what? I believe God. I believe he's yet a healer. I believe he's yet a provider. I believe he's yet a deliverer. He's still a way maker where there is no way. He's still a tower strong, and the righteous can still run in and be saved. He is everything he's ever been, and he's that today, and he's that for us, and he's here, and it's real right now. That affects everything in my life. And with that attitude and with that confession, the arm of the Lord is revealed. The scripture clearly says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Anybody want to please God? Come on, you got to quit singing that old dour song about how bad everything is. He doesn't do this, and he hadn't done that, and he won't go here, and he won't go there. But you need to start singing about, but I've got a God that is able, and a God that can. You got to quit singing, she won't do this, and she said that, and she went here, and she. You got to quit singing that, and you got to start singing, but I've got a God who says that he's going to lay his hand on my life and reveal his power. My God. Somebody needs to start singing a new song. Somebody needs to start singing the song. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, praise God. Lindsay, come help me. So whether you believe a Berkeley study or multitude of studies emanating from Berkeley, or you believe the Word of God, I want you to know you can't get where God wants to take you singing that sad old song, because he's not even going to walk with you. He's going to say, okay, you keep singing. I'll be back. He doesn't want to be around all that. You say, well, he doesn't love me when I'm down. You know better than that. But how can two walk together except they agree? You can't walk to him. What you did, you pulled up somewhere and sat down on a stump, and you've been sucking your thumb and singing, oh, woe is me and how bad life is. And it's because I don't have enough money, and it's because I don't have a boss that loves me, and it's because my daddy said bad things, my mama dressed me funny, and it's like nobody loves me in the church, and I don't have any friends, and... You know what the Word of God does with all that? It turns it right around and dumps it right back out in your lap and says, every bit of this is your responsibility. God's already done everything he's going to do. He's already made a way for you. He's already created the opportunity for you. You've got to start walking in what God has made available to you and stop all that nasty, negative nonsense. It's nasty. It's the antithesis of faith. You got to stop it. Well, you don't live where I live. God will live there. And he'll lift you up out of there. David said, I was in a deep pit. I was in the miry clay. He said, but I called on God. He said, I started calling on God. And God came to see about him right where he was. Get your eyes off of all of the debilitating circumstances. Get your eyes on a God that never fails. And open your mouth. This is Thanksgiving week. It ought to be easy in a week like this. I've taught the church, but it bears repeating. The things that you say most often get a deeper and deeper imprint in your psyche and in your spirit. The things that you continue to say over and over, they make their way down indelibly into where you live in your mind and in your spirit. And if it's all bad news, you're bad news inside and out. But if it's words of faith, every time I pray, I thank God for my wife. Every time I pray, I thank God for you. I thank God for the gift that she is to me. And I thank God for the blessing that she is to me. Now, we might have just had a row, and she might have just run me out of the house with a broom. She's only done that once. No. Everybody has times. What did Brother Pixler call it? Intense moments of fellowship. Everybody has that. But it doesn't diminish the gift that God has given me and the blessing she is in my life. And so every day when I pray, I not only pray God bless her, but I thank God for her. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into, how do you get into the portal where God is when you're burdened down by all sorts of heavy, heavy things? You gotta have courage. You've gotta want this more than the devil wants to steal it from you. You've gotta raise up, bow up in the midst of that and say, I thank you, God. My heart is breaking, but I thank you, God, for all the times. And you go back through your back trail. You identify every good thing in your life, every positive thing in your life, every blessing in your life. Before you're done with that recital, the presence of God is already flooding into where you are, or you have, through the portal of thanksgiving, found your way into the presence of God again. And when you're there, everything changes. The provision of God is there. The authority of God is there. Everything in his word is there. And you made your way there by thanksgiving. We come in by thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Paul said, talk to yourselves now. Sing songs, psalms, hymns, giving thanks to God in all things. That's hard. It's hard. But it's good. Life is hard. I'm always amazed at people that say, things are so bad, I'm going to leave the church. Sister Sutton's mom couldn't swim. She was in a boat one time. I forget what happened to it. They made her afraid, though. It came untied and drifted away from the shore. And she got so scared because that boat was drifting from shore, she jumped out of the boat, neglecting to remember she can't swim. Brother Cornwell likes to say, I'd rather be in the ship with the stink than outside in the storm. Praise God. This is God's way. It ain't easy. It ain't ever easy, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it. In the middle of your trouble today, get that hand up. Get that voice up. When you leave this place today and it comes back down on you, in the middle of that encroaching darkness and weight, Open your mouth. It's the most powerful thing God's given you. And begin to thank and bless and praise and worship and remember and honor God and lift up the things of God. I feel the Holy Ghost all over this today. You can come out of the gloom. You can come out of the trouble. You can find strength when you're in a broken place. You can find a remedy for almost every situation. You begin to give God thanks. God may not change the other person, but God will revolutionize you if you develop a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of praise. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, sing. God, mighty God. I want to give you thanks, oh God. Somebody say, bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is with me.
That is with me.
I'm blessed.
Holy.
Oh, I will bless the Lord.
Bless this.
Holy.